It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Many people today do not know what a local church is. Now I'd like to speak for the next few minutes about the practical local church.
I wonder if when you enter the local church, if you're excited. Now, I don't mean running down the aisles, but I believe that according to Psalm 122:1, the Bible says, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Now, I don't believe that we need to enter dancing and hooping and hollering, but neither do we need to be like the old preacher once said, like a mule eating sandbriars. We need to be excited about our privilege of being able to join our hearts together for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. We need to be the practical local church. And I've chosen for our text 1 Corinthians 14:40, and it says this, "Let all things be done decently and in order." As children of God, we are to do things decently and in order, according to that. And not only as the people of God are we to do things decently and in order, we are also to do things decently and in order as those who are members of God's local New Testament church. Let's look at some definitions. First of all, you notice I've titled this the practical local church. The word practical here, practical does not mean to be ordinary. In other words, concerned with matters of fact and useful. That's the way we need to be. We need to be practical and concerned about things. Concerned about the lost of this world, concerned about our brothers and sisters in Christ, and then we need to be useful. And notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 40, again, it uses the word decently. Decently, and this is according to proprieties. And this means to do things that are appropriate in a way that conforms to accepted standards of moral behavior or appearance. According to the Bible. Not according to what we think, but according to what the Bible says. And notice, once again, it says decently and in order. Order. This would be arrangement. This is the way in which things are arranged as an indication of their relative importance. Is going to church important to you? It should be if you're a child of God. And then we see that people who are to be concerned with these things are the people of God. Well, who are the people of God? Well, it's the saved people. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 it says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." In Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Acts 16:31, "And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." All through the Word of God, we have the scarlet thread that runs from Genesis through the book of Revelation. And that scarlet thread leads to our Savior, Jesus Christ. And notice the members of God's church. These, of course, are the saved people, those people who are saved, baptized. This means immersed in water. These are saved people joining physically God's local New Testament church. And I'm not saying you get baptized to be saved. I'm saying that is one of God's ordinances that we observe after salvation. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. "Then they that gladly received his word," they got saved, "were baptized." They got saved, then they got baptized. "And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Acts 2:47. "Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." The church. This was the New Testament church, the church at Jerusalem. As the church got started, it was a physical, visible church, people. The church at Jerusalem. And God added to that church daily those people who got saved. In Acts 2, chapter 2 and verse 47, this is the first mention of the word church in the book of Acts. And the context here indicates that the reference is to the visible body of believers in the Jerusalem church functioning as described in Acts 2:44 through 47. Now, what I'd like to look at today is putting things in order. And first of all, if you have a copy of what I've prepared, I want you to notice Roman numeral 1, God. God is number one. Before all things, the Bible says God was. In Psalm 90 and verse 2, it says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Well, when did God come into being? Well, the Bible says he was before anything that we know of that was created. And we're going to see about the Creator in just a moment. And once again, that Psalm says, 90 and verse 2, it says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. God was before everything that we know of. In Colossians 1:17, and I might say before we know of, before anything. Colossians 1:17 says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Well, he's before all things, and we also see, number two, that he was there at the beginning. What beginning? Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Before the heaven and the earth was created, God was. In John 1:1 it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we'll look at that in just a few moments about the Word. Well, to the skeptical question as to who made God, the only answer that satisfies all the facts of both science and human reason is that God is from everlasting. He is the creator of time as well as space and all things that exist in time and space. This is beyond our mental comprehension, but there is no other rational explanation for our existence, and it is surely compatible with the intuitions of our spiritual comprehension. God satisfies the heart regardless of difficulties conjured in the mind. God said it. It makes no difference whether I believe it or not. God said it, and that makes it so. Well, notice he was not only before all things, and he was at the beginning. He created, and we're going to see that just now, as he was in the beginning, and third, he is the creator of everything. Genesis 1:1 again says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Colossians 1:16 says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether we see them or not, God created them. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. All things that exist, these things were created for him and by him. Notice number four, he is everything. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 6, now we're talking about God. He's number one. In Revelation 21 verse 6 it says, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. In 1 Corinthians 8:4 it says, as concerning therefore the eating of those things which are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that, and listen carefully, there is none other God but one. Now in passages such as John 1:1 through 3, in Colossians 1:16 and 17, it's revealed that God the Creator is identical with Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ is God incarnate, according to John chapter 1 and verse 14. And note that all things were both created by Jesus Christ and made by Jesus Christ. And that is, called into being out of nothing, and then organized into complex, complete forms of being, each perfect for its particular purpose. Notice with me in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And then, of course, in John 1:14, we read who the Word was and who the Word is. It says there, and the Word was made flesh and dwell among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who was the Word? The Word was and is Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. For by him, this is Jesus Christ, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Now notice verse 17. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So we see that by comparing Scripture with Scripture, that Jesus Christ is the Creator, that Jesus Christ is God. And we often simply think of Jesus Christ, and I say simply, it's not something simple, but we think of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, which he is. He was made flesh and dwelt among us. But we also need to understand that Jesus Christ is God. You can't separate the two. He is God. Notice number 5 about God. Love God. According to Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, it says, And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Now I want you to notice something about Mark, what he writes here. He adds the phrase, and with all thy strength. He adds that to the first commandment as given in Matthew 22:37. We need to understand that Matthew was writing mainly for Jewish readers. And he knew they were more occupied with the heart, soul, and mind. Whereas Mark, writing more for a Roman audience, and Luke, in chapter 10, verse 27, thinking of Greeks and Gentiles in general, these both retained Christ's emphasis on strength as well. But both versions are factually accurate, so no problem of inerrancy is involved. Some people try to say the Bible has errors in it, but that's not true. Once you compare Scripture with Scripture, you realize that's not true. Well, the main point in both, in Mark and Matthew and Luke, the main point in both is certainly that love for God with our whole being is the most important of all rules for living.
You've been listening to a subject titled The Practical Local Church. This is study number 1. Now, we looked at some definitions, God the Father and God the Son, Jesus Christ. The local New Testament church is founded upon Jesus Christ. Now, in our next study, we'll continue looking at the practical local church. You won't want to miss that. Let me invite you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today. You need to know him as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, or in other words, the children of God. If you'll trust him today, God says that he will never leave you nor forsake you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. Join me next time for study number 2 of the Practical Local Church.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.